What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. We got a good one for you guys today, talking about the sophomores on the team. Who's going to take that next step? Who's going to help the team? Because we need some of them to step up. But real quick, we're going to shout out the sponsors. Yes, that is with an S. We got Prize Picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly using that promo code HMA. We're going to talk about that later in the video. And we got another one back in the house. We got SeatGeek back in the house.
I'm going to a concert with tickets bought by SeatGeek tonight. Going to the Wale concert at Fort Lauderdale Memorial Stadium. Got my discount from the Dolphins Collective. So I appreciate that.
I thought you were going to go see Rush.
See which one?
Rush.
Rush is tonight?
No. You have no clue Rush is. Don't even pretend. Go ahead.
I was just about to do my TD thing.
21-12, baby. 21-12. Great album.
No, I really be knowing this stuff, y'all. If y'all didn't know. I really be knowing.
You guys got to get up on your music knowledge. Come on.
Omar, why we ain't get an invite? I like Wale.
I mean, you're not here. Poupard, I know his music tape. You're not here. I'm actually going solo. This is like my first concert I'm going solo to. I just like Wale that much. And nobody wants to go with me. And I'm going by myself.
Yeah, SeatGeek, baby. Fast, easy, reliable. Over 10,000 events. It's not just sports like Omar's talking about. You go to concerts. Like I said, last week we went to the Mets game. Tickets easy. I got a parking pass easy. Like the seats were ridiculous. It just sucked that it was 102 degrees that day. So my daughter did not want to sit. We were 9 rows off third base. Nice. My daughter was like, can we go back up?
I was like, yeah, in the shade?
Because it was hot. But we go there, first inning, Mets hit 2 home runs. She's losing her mind. Then she's like, I want him to hit more home runs. I'm like, me too. But they ended up winning, but yeah. So use that 10%, collective 10. Get yourself some tickets at SeatGeek. Link below. So fun. So let's get into this. We got a bunch of guys who are on their sophomore with the Miami Dolphins. Some of them are going to be a little bit more important than others. Who needs to take the biggest step, right? Who needs to take the biggest jump? You got Kenneth Grant. You know, yours is he? Yeah, Jonah. Mm-hmm. Who do you think?
Jordan Phillips, Dante Trader,
Biggers.
Are we missing some? Oh, Ollie Gordon.
I got my answer.
Go ahead.
And my answer is Dante Trader Jr. And my reason is if Jonas Savainaya doesn't take a big step forward, yank him out of there. Salyer is an option. Maybe Andrew Myers an option. Maybe DJ Campbell's an option. Kenneth Grant doesn't take a big jump forward. There are other options. If Dante Trader Jr. does not have a big season at safety, who else you got at safety?
Absolutely nobody.
So which is more? I'll wait. Yeah.
I hear Alan's Poupard's point. And I do agree with it because you've got nothing else at safety. However, I'm going to go with Jordan Phillips. And you know why I'm going to go with Jordan Phillips? From this standpoint, if you cannot stop the run, you cannot be effective on defense. You can't rush the quarterback. You're not going to get turnovers. You're just going to be a disaster. And yes, I know I've excluded Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant is what he's going to be. I have always never put stock into where a player was drafted. I always look at what the talent is and how hard the guy was work. And when Cam Wake was the best player on the Miami Dolphins for a for 5 years, and he wasn't a drafted player. Mm-hmm. Brent Grimes was one of the best players on the Miami Dolphins for 3-4 years before he got run out of town or forced his way out and wasn't a drafted player. I don't need you to be a first round pick to be better than I think Jordan Phillips is already better than Kenneth Grant.
But generally speaking, you're drafted where you're drafted a lot of the time because of talent.
Okay.
And there are outliers all the time. But you're mentioning two guys over the span of what? 15 years.
Okay, that's fair. But Alan Poupard, tell the truth. Who's the more talented defensive lineman, Kenneth Grant or Jordan Phillips?
More talented, Kenneth Grant. Yeah.
More prepared to contribute and play and start.
Oh, Jordan Phillips, but that's
too. Oh, okay, teams. Well, we look at what you're basing talent on. What for Kenneth Grant?
On athletic.
Phillips is more athletic. Jordan Phillips is stronger.
Who would you say is more athletic?
Jordan Phillips.
Oh hell no.
Oh hell yes.
Show me a clip of Jordan Phillips running down a running back from the backside like we saw Kenneth Grant due to the Penn State running back. That's freakish for a defensive tackle, the way he ran him down. But Jordan Phillips absolutely is a guy who's going to squeeze every ounce of his athletic ability because he's a worker. And the other part of it, too, is we're expecting that much of a jump from Jordan Phillips because by the end of his rookie season, he was pretty solid.
And you expect players to get better in their second season, don't you?
Some of them kind of
hope
get close to what they're going to be pretty early in their career.
TD, who do you have?
I thought that there was only one right answer, and neither of these gentlemen said it. Chop Robinson.
That's
not a second year player. That's why he's not an answer.
Third.
Sorry,
TD. Oh, I forgot he disappeared last year. That's why. Okay, wow. It makes sense now. No, No. Hold on. Second year players, Kenneth Grant. Well, yeah, I mean, it's Jonas Savanaya then. That's my number two here. We have an opportunity to legitimately have a wall that, in my opinion, would create zero questions if we take the injury bug out of it, you know, hoping everybody stay healthy. I think that if Jonas Savanaya can – I think that, you know, that – see, this offense is going to be much better than I think people realize. And Jonah can really unlock it to a true shocker for everybody. Like, just think about him not even playing elite football, not even playing great football. Jonah just playing good right guard play. And Austin Jackson is – well, you know what? I'll give you average. You know,
I'll take an average NFL starter.
Yeah, if you can get that from Jonah – this line is going to run block and pass protect with a guy who may not even need as much pass protection, which makes life even that more easier for Malik Willis. This offense can thrive if – see, Malik Willis is going to do a lot with minimal things like opportunities around him. See, but if you actually
– I knew the excuse is coming.
I say he's going to do stuff without a Tyreek Waddle-loaded roster, okay? He's going to do stuff. But if you actually add on protection to that, the sky is the limit. This team can actually be a scoring offense, a legitimate scoring offense. That's why I believe Jonah is so important. The defense has holes. The defense has the most questions, in my opinion. So it's kind of like a crapshoot. I can't bank my money on that. I need to outscore teams. And Jonah can unlock that for the Miami Dolphins.
Do you really have the wide receiver core to be lights out and outscore opponents?
Yeah, because extending plays. Did you hear Malik Washington? Man, in this, I don't think he was given a dig on the last quarterback, but it was telling. He said, man, with Malik Willis, the play is not over. You got to keep moving. When the route is over, you look back and he's got out of the pocket, get open for him. He's gonna find you. The play keeps going. So that's the key with Malik Willis. He's going to make this wide receiving core do things even off script to create even more offense.
Because you're assuming that every time he scrambles around, the end result's a 25-yard gain.
I mean, if you watch the film, I can go off of that and say, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I'm just saying. You know who's one of the best off-script quarterbacks last year in the NFL? The big plays came off of the script.
In his two starts, without question.
We're going with three. We're going with three.
We didn't start three games.
My pick would be definitely trenches. I'm torn between Kenneth Grant and Jonah. You notice I don't say his last name because I haven't gotten it down yet. Kenneth Grant, I would like to see him play at the level that we've seen him play in college, like Alan was talking about. but Jonah would definitely, like TD was talking about, help this offensive line, especially if Proctor is as good as he should be at that left guard position versus playing tackle. You know, four of the five would be really solid for Miami. That would help the Dolphins run the ball and do all the things they need to do. But Kenneth Grant, you know, it would be another first round pick that we reached on possibly and just didn't pan out for us. So, you know, I'm torn between those two. But, you know, the sophomore group, I didn't realize how many guys actually contributed somewhat last year in Dante Trader, Jordan Phillips, Kenneth Grant, Quinn Ewers, Zeke Biggers, even Ollie Gordon contributed somewhat last year. So, you know, there was a big contribution, but I'm going to twist the question.
Jason Marshall Jr., he contributed too.
Who do you think? So we went with who do you want. Who do you think will take that second step in his second year? Like out of the names that I just said, who do you think will do it? And I'm going to start with TD. Ugh.
Who do I think will take that next step? That is a great question, Doug.
Because we know who we want, but you know,
I'm gonna go with Jonah Savanaya. The reason why I think it's Jonah, because there were so many elements actually working against him, everybody else just didn't show up.
What elements Jonah working against him?
Playing on the wrong side of the O-line, number one. And I'm going to go off of the strength of what the reports are. There have been some players that have unsolicited have said things about you can tell the difference with him on the right side. That's
whatever,
all
bro,
I need.
There ain't no bad
when was it unsolicited that they threw that out? I mean,
been some players in interviews that have said you can tell he's a different player on the right side.
Yeah, tell me the difference you've seen Jonah this year. That's not
y'all certified haters. Y'all certified haters. Y'all are Jonah haters.
No, but we can read between the BS that's always spewed at this time of year.
Jonah's problem was, according to his teammates, he came in with a very bad fundamental base.
Mm.
Just improperly coached, improper technique. And that they spent most of his rookie season cleaning that up. Jonah, he had what I call the Dallas Thomas disease, which is he would be okay for 45 plays in a 50-play game. But then there would be five plays where he's absolutely just horrendous and a turnstile, and it's going to blow up and destroy the play or the drive. Now... can you clean that up? Can he clean that up? Let's hope that moving him to the right side, which I don't buy, by the way. Let's hope that moving him to the right side is going to help him with a fundamental and technique and getting footwork done or whatever, whatnot. I don't necessarily agree that that's the magical answer or the magical recipe. I just think Jonah needs to become tougher here. And Jonah needs to become... I love what I saw from certain hard knocks, but NFL films, videos with him going up to guys after games that he's played and ask them, what do I need to work on? What do I need to get better at?
Mm-hmm.
That is so humbling to do and commendable to ask. And it shows that you really care. He's Polynesian, you know that they really care. They really work hard. So I'm not questioning how hard he's going to work. I'm not questioning his commitment. What I am questioning is his mental toughness and the commitment to clean up the technique. And we'll see. We'll get a chance to see.
Yeah, especially with, you know, pads and everything coming on. Hopefully he holds his all, and because that's definitely, you know, if I had to pick who I think will take that next step, I'm going with Jordan Phillips. I think he's, you know, looks faster. I think it was hilarious. I don't know if you guys saw the Bobby Slowik mic'd up when at the very end, they're running back into the the bubble. And he's like, Jordan, one day I'm going to beat you in here. Like, I thought that was hilarious. That's
one of the things. And I've been meaning to write like a column or a story about it. And really, I got to give Chris Perkins credit because he noticed it. And he asked, Jordan Phillips hustles to every drill. Like, hustle. It ain't jogging. It's hustle to every drill. And that's really commendable. And he told us why. He's like, it was a very interesting like metaphor or whatever it's called. Poopardo, correct me. Where he's like, if your dog gets out of the house, do you go chase him like laissez-faire, or do you go chase him with a sense of urgency? Because you care about that dog, you would chase him with that sense of urgency.
Or do you open the door and go, Fido, come here.
You know, I think maybe I'm overinflating.
He's a good boy.
Maybe I'm overinflating Jordan Phillips, but I kind of felt like the end of last year, he had already arrived. Like, I already view him as a legitimate D tackle in this league. That I view him as Zach Sealer. I view him as, he can hold his own.
He doesn't have the pass rushing skills of Jack Sealer.
No. I'm talking about at his tech. He's holding his own and doing his job very well. I just kind of like give him the thumbs up.
But here, the reason I bring up Jordan Phillips, though, is I expect him to get better. So if at the end of last year, he's already at a point where you're like, he is an NFL whatever.
Y'all know that only six teams were worse than the Dolphins at stopping the run last year, right?
Where do you think he's going to go, though? Here's my question. What's the ceiling for Jordan Phillips? He does not have the athletic traits profile to become a high-end pass rusher. What he's going to be
– No, he's not going to be a pass rusher. He's a run stopper.
No, the best-case scenario for him is become like an elite run defender. Yeah. And to me, he's already a pretty good run defender.
Yeah.
You're going to get like that much skill as a run defender in year two? I don't think so.
I think I don't expect him to rush the quarterback. I expect him to stop the run and be a first and second down. If he gives you Darryl Gardner, because that's who he kind of reminds me of from a physique standpoint. You disagree, Poopar?
Yeah. Darryl Gardner was 6'6". I mean, Jordan's what, 6'3", 6'4", maybe?
6'3", but I didn't know Darryl Gardner was 6'6". Yes.
Yeah.
I just
and they've also had some pass rushing ability, but it's actually a compliment to Jordan Phillips. What I'm saying is I thought he was pretty solid as it was at the end of last year as a run defender, and I just don't know how much of room for growth there is, as opposed to, for example, Kenneth Grant, where let's say there's a lot of meat on the bone left there in 2025.
So who do you pick that you think will be better in the second year?
I think Dante Trader Jr. is going to be better in the second year. I think Jason Marshall Jr. is going to be better in the second year. Jonah, I'm holding my breath. Kenneth Grant, I'm concerned a little bit. He needs to be way more consistent as opposed to flashing two or three plays every game. But the main guys would be the two guys in the secondary. I think there's absolutely something there. More meat to be chewed off. That's Jordan Marshall Jr. and Dante Trader Jr.
One more.
I believe in Dante Trader Jr. I think if he wasn't hurt during training camp last year, he would have been a clear-cut rookie starter from day one. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he was going to hold that job because we saw, you know, there were struggles. There was also a shoulder injury that kind of contributed to him losing roles or losing playing time. But he was a pretty consistent, steady player when he did contribute. I think he played like 400, 500 snaps last year. You know, why other guys were playing ahead of him, I have no idea. But I think you see the leadership, you see the work ethic, you see the commitment to being the best version of himself. You see the mentorship. I think he looks like a guy who's ready to take that next step.
By the way, let me chime in here with some little nugget. We're talking about safeties. One of the guys from last year, Ife Melifonwu, had a workout last week. I want to say it was with the Seattle Seahawks.
Speaking of secondary,
he's an interesting piece for them.
Before we get to the next topic, apparently the Dolphins are signing Houston Gambler safety Major Burns.
I can confirm that they are signing Major Burns.
Burns.
Bad name for a DB, by the way. Major Burns, bad name for a DB.
Bad name. Bad name. He earned all UFL honors in 2026, posting 47 tackles, 4 pass breakups, and 4 interceptions in 9 games played. If you like PFF, he had a 90.1 defensive grade per PFF. Did we just find the next Cam Wake?
We just upgraded from AFC Championship to the Super Bowl, baby.
All UFL, baby.
Remember, what year was it that they signed like a whole bunch of UFL guys? And those guys were like, or XFL guys, and there was like 5 of them. And I don't even know if they made it to training camp. Like they were gone quickly.
Omar looked it up. You are right. Dante Trader, 419 snaps.
Yeah.
So let's get to another sophomore and a guy who has been a lot of topics, especially on my channel with people pushing back. That's Quinn Ewers. We got to see him the end of last year. He got the 3-game starts. I think there was some good there. Obviously, there were some things he needed to work on. I want to clear the air on something, and I'm going to ask Omar and Alan again because they've seen it with their own eyes. How many, because this is a big thing of contention, how many practices so far this year that you gentlemen have seen with your own peepers did Quinn Ewers do better than Malik?
Bart?
I think there was a whole bunch where it was 6 and 1, half a dozen of the other. There was one when Quinn Ewers clearly outplayed Malik. There was one when Malik, I thought, clearly outplayed Ewers. We saw 6 total. So to me, the score might have been 1-1 and 4. 4 guys. And we're splitting hairs on some of those.
I am 2-4-1. No, I'm sorry. 2-1-4, because the last number is the ties, right?
Well, yeah. We saw 6, so it can't add up to 7. You have 2-1-4.
2-1-3.
2-1-3. Yes,
2-1-3.
Two yours. I saw Quinn outperform Malik twice.
Okay. Wow.
I think I saw Malik outperform Quinn once, and then there were a whole bunch of ties.
So if this was a legit competition, no money added.
It ain't a legit competition.
It's not about the money.
It's not about the money. It's more about the investment. But here's my point. Here's where this is important and an important conversation. I like the fact that Quinn is playing. He's practicing and working like he's playing with house money. He ain't got nothing to lose. He's not gonna lose the number 2 spot because have you seen the backups? Have you seen the backups?
Yeah.
And all he could do is make his teammates feel extremely confident when he's out there. And you know, this is way better than Mike White, Skylar Thompson, in my opinion, in terms of he's shown.
Yep.
It's like, he looks like a guy who Archie Manning could never beat out. And he looks like, okay, this young expensive quarterback with a Manning name is here to take my job. Okay, I'm going to go play with house money. I'm going to throw these aggressive passes and earn the starting Texas job. Archie got the window open because of injury, couldn't do what he did. Quinn came back and showed you this my job, even though he got kicked out. His, you know, he didn't get to go back for his final season.
So
also 2 years older, which you're conveniently leaving out. I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, he beat out an 18-year-old. I mean,
yeah, that's cool, but ability is ability, and I like the bold passes. I like the aggressive mentality. Like, Quinn ain't check down. Quinn is not a check down quarterback, and I respect that. Now, did we see anything worth mentioning or highlighting when he started three games? Absolutely not. It was eye. And, you know, Malik showed you, hey, I could play. But if we're sitting here comparing rookie season to rookie season, Quinn kicked his behind. And
there was 5 years ago that Malik Willis
is rookie season. All I said was apples to apples, rookie season to rookie season.
Okay, apples to apples. Who's got the higher athletic ceiling?
Oh, absolutely, Quinn. Who's got the better arm? Quinn. I mean, I'm sorry, Malik. Who's got the better arm?
Okay.
Malik. Who got the more experience? Malik. Who reads the defense better? Quinn.
Who's got the better shot at becoming a high-end NFL quarterback?
Malik.
Is it close?
Yes.
It's close, really.
To me, it's close. Okay, because if Quinn continues to throw bold, aggressive passes, and he continues to show you, I can be
7-on-7 with no pass.
I know. I didn't say it wasn't. He doesn't have to worry about being hit. I get it. But Malik has the same conditions. And not throwing the bold passes. King of the check down.
How often did he check down? Did we watch
his checked down his first couple of practices? They must have made a mandate. Hey, it's 7-on-7. We're not checking down. Like, it was very clear after a certain point in the practice period where they're like, yo, throw the ball. Like, how many times do we have to see a Jalen Wright catch the pass? Because we don't.
That was the first week, and then it
drastically changed. Second week, he was overthrowing everything while Quinn was hitting. And, he was hit.
Pretty dramatic overcharacterization, but sure, we'll go with it.
Was he hitting or not?
Was he what?
All right. Let's call
you're
that.
Acting like, right. You're acting like
let's
you
call the second practice gross. A tie. Let's call the second practice a tie. Okay? Even though Malik looked bad. Don't deny that he looked bad.
It was rough, yes.
Mini camp. The third practice is, I believe, the one that I gave yours clearly better. Then minicamp, Malik was better. Malik was better in minicamp. But Quinn was not bad. And Quinn was right there. And those are ties for me. Those three practices, very close.
You just said Malik was better, but I give it
a No, I'm sorry. Quinn was better on the third practice. It was like neither were good the first practice. I felt like Quinn was better the second practice. And then I think we had one more OTA.
Okay, let me boil it down like this. In the wildest best case scenario of Quinn Ewers maxing out his skill set, does he come remotely close to Drake May or Josh Allen? Be honest.
No. Okay,
thank you. With Malik Willis. There's an unknown that we don't know.
There's an unknown about Quinn Ewers.
I'm sorry?
There's an unknown about Quinn Ewers.
I just asked you, wildest best case scenario, does he come close to those guys?
I'm not answering that question with Malik Willis either. No.
Really? See, and for me, I'm not ready to say that because we haven't seen exactly him maxing out on a more consistent basis than just three starts in 2 years, which is why also Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan are not making it a competition because with Malik Willis, even though it might be a pipe dream, I think this notion that you could get a quarterback who could get close to those two guys is there with Quinn Ewers, solid backup, or
real what quick. Looks
to be like a solid backup or a serviceable starter.
Real quick, just got to jump in here. Got some news, not breaking news or any crazy news, but the Dolphins have released Keon Smith.
Thank God.
They released him and they waived tackle Carter Warren to bring in Major Burns. So that was just reported by Barry Jackson that Keon Smith has been released.
You know what that means and says to me? They have eyes.
Yeah, right.
It gives you
a little faith that they know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Like and can evaluate talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I think this is a bad notch on John Eric Sullivan because he should have held pat and waited for a trade offer for Keon Smith. Okay.
We will see if there's a team that claims Keon Smith.
Spoiler alert, no.
Yeah, it'll be Arizona or something like that.
But they also cut Carter Warren, who was the other backup tackle.
Yeah.
That was, you know, I think Charlie Heck is still there.
Hold on, injury designation for Carter Warren. Remember, we didn't see him the last several.
Yeah, we didn't see Salyer. He's got to play tackle because if he can't play tackle, you're doomed. You're doomed to the team.
By the way, forget Barry Jackson. The Dolphins just released this.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
Oh, they did. I saw it from Barry.
Don't give credit where credit does not need to be given.
Give credit where credit is not. Deserving if it's the Miami Herald.
I had the Major Burns story before the Dolphins just made those moves. Okay, so seriously.
Yes.
Don't do that.
The Keon Smith release is important. However, you don't have any tackles. You better find some tackles.
You signed the guy specifically to be your swing tackle. Charlie Heck, that's what he is. He's a backup swing tackle. That's what he is.
He wasn't good either.
He was, I don't know what his PFF grade.
We'll see.
Was Larry Borum bad before the Dolphins signed him?
He was bad in training camp, and yes, he was bad before.
And the he Dolphins was very serviceable him. When their season started.
You're correct. You're 1,000% correct. I gained a level of respect for Larry Borum.
Okay.
He sucked in training camp, and then he got better as the season progressed. So props to him.
So Charlie Heck is a guy with a lot of NFL experience. That's your backup tackle.
How many teams have a
great third tackle? Come on.
Okay. All right.
TD, you wanted to say something before?
Yeah, the Quinn Ewers, Malik Willis ordeal. Let me give a ceiling comp. Okay. And let me preface this by saying this. Everything we're talking about, in my opinion, is massive for Quinn Ewers. That means that he is headed in the right direction. In his development as a quarterback, he's making the big time throws. I do think, like Alan said, the gap for ceiling is wide, but I'm gonna give a compliment because I still think it's wide. But Quinn Ewers' ceiling, in my opinion, which is amazing, is CJ Stroud. I think that can be his ceiling, but Malik Willis's ceiling is Lamar Jackson. He's not Lamar Jackson. He may never become, but that's the ceiling because he has the skill set. Can he put it together like Lamar Jackson does? That's what it comes down to. He has that ability to be one of the top guys just like that. He has all the tools that Lamar Jackson has, but can he put it together like Lamar Jackson? What tool does Lamar Jackson have that Malik Willis doesn't, Omar?
He doesn't shake his head as well. That's what I'm
saying. Omar, tools is one thing. Ryan Tannehill had the tools.
Ryan Tannehill did not have the mobile tools.
Yes, he did. Ryan Tannehill was mobile.
He didn't have the mobile tools. He could run. There's a difference in being able to run and go like Aaron Rodgers. Malik
Willis run like that. He ain't even at Liberty. Anyway, stop.
Omar, you're gonna have to go back and look at the stats of Liberty.
It's Liberty. It's Liberty. Oh, stop it,
man. He has a scoop.
He has never beaten out anybody in his NFL career.
Oh my God. You think he had a fair opportunity to beat somebody out in Tennessee? Yes,
he had a fair opportunity.
They drafted to Will Levis in the second round.
The Tennessee quarterback. That they selected. It was a, from a Vanderbilt.
It's a new coach, though. It's a brand new coach.
Yeah, and he had an opportunity.
And he draft a quarterback, but before you even take a look at him yourself, you draft the quarterback. Who you think they're gonna go with?
I don't live in that favoritism world, man.
But that's what these GMs
it doesn't exist at all. No, it's all
listen, you're right, which is why I don't live in that world. I don't want to live in that world. I would have a 2-week audition before we take it to the exhibition season.
But then it just happened to Quinn Ewers. It's the same thing. We go get Malik. They're not going to give Quinn Ewers the starting just opportunity, right? No, it's the same thing happening.
Quinn better be ready, because if Malik is scrambling around the way y'all want him to be scrambling around, he's not going to survive 17 games, and Quinn need to be ready and capable of starting at least 4 or 5 games.
Or he does survive, just like Josh Allen survives. Maybe he does. 17
Josh games. Allen is built like a tank.
Yeah, different bodies.
Kyler Murray, look at Kyler Murray, how broken down he is. Look at Lamar Jackson, how broken down he is. Do we have a reason for Jalen Hurts's fall off last year? Athletic scrambling quarterbacks, they gonna fall off. Just wait for it.
Anyway, let's get to the Prize Picks now. Again, use that promo code. When you play $5, you get 50 in your lineup. The NBA Finals, that win. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy win. TD was using his Prize Picks, made some really good calls. Now that the NBA Finals is over and all that stuff is over, what do you got cooking, man? What do you got cooking?
Hey, man, we got to go to the MLB, baby. You know, one thing I love on Prize Picks is how they do their lineups with the pitchers. I always get in on the strikes, how many strikes that they have each game. Let me show you one thing that I absolutely love with Prize Picks is when you go pick your pitchers, they have tools that can actually help you. Like, so say, for instance, Dustin May. I can go on and I can look, and, man, Dustin May's been killing it. They say at 5. They have the line at 5. Man, he's passed 5 the last 4 games. That's something I might want to get on, that run. He's on a hot streak. You go over to Michael Lorenzen, and he's been killing it too. You know, has a lull here and there, but, you know, these are safe ones for me. So that's what I love about it. You can look at how they've been doing and help you determine whether or not you want to ride with them hitting their line or not. All right, so get in on the action, and all you got to do is play $5, and you're going to get $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA. That's why I encourage people, play the 5 and get the 50, play out the 50. Who knows, man? You might flip that, all right? But the NBA Finals, that last game disappointed me. You know, Wimby didn't show up for me, so it is what it is.
That man was stepping on, had people, Wimby, play a little dirty. I'm just going to say that, but. Knicks
sure,
won.
Sure, I'm a New York fan. Like, the Knicks didn't play dirty at all. What you should dump on him, though, is not shaking anybody's hand after the final was over. That was pretty lame. And then B, when he got done with his media session, he walks up and, you know, see you guys never. And it was like, what the hell was that?
See, dude, you guys never?
Yes. Something along those
lines. He wasn't handling it well, it looks like.
He's a rude Frenchman. They're all rude.
Oui, oui.
Oh, he's De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox lost it for that team, though.
He's young. Fox.
Yep.
He's got a lot to learn.
He's got a lot of maturity, dude. Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't follow. I didn't want to see no post game, nothing. Sorry.
You watched the game?
Yeah, watched the game. Watched the game at a party. So
you seen De'Aaron sell?
I see who?
De'Aaron Tagovailoa sell.
I caught that, TD. Nobody, the other guys didn't, but I caught
it. Okay, it's okay. As long as you got it. That's
I did.
Incorrigible. You're incorrigible.
Real quick, we did talk about the DTs, but I want to get to this next one, and then we'll get to donations. Is Trader ready to lead the secondary? When he got his shot the second half of the season, he kind of stepped up. He had that nice interception where he ran across field to make it. Do you saw, you know, we talked about this before. Alan brought up, you know, Trader as one of his guys, you know, with the growth from his first year to his second year. Being that the secondary is put together the way it is, I think the corners, again, if
Juju... How are they? How are they, Doug?
Well, if Juju could stay healthy, I think we're good at corner. It's the safeties. I think safety, you kind of, again, you take them, you put them in a bag, you kind of toss it out and see which two safeties are going to start. That's the way I see it. So it's like we kind of hope that Trader takes that next step and leads the secondary, because if not...
Are you saying that your team is talent deficient in the secondary, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What y'all got against Lonnie Johnson Jr.?
Why is he on his how many team?
Thank you.
He explained it in his interview. He's been getting politicked his whole career.
Sure. What else is he gonna say? I just haven't been good enough. Really?
Oh, man.
Come on. It's always somebody else's fault.
Listen, I'm trying to be very diplomatic.
It's when?
No, I try. I'm not very good at it, but I try. I try. Lonnie Johnson ain't that good, bro.
That's very diplomatic.
Is he making his roster?
Special teams, maybe.
Maybe.
Special wow. teams, maybe.
But people, it's his phone that goes off.
I mean, I'm not keeping Lonnie Johnson over Lewis Moore. There's no upside.
Man.
There. I like Lewis Moore. I actually like Lewis Moore. I would tell you he's got as much of an opportunity to start as Michael Taft.
Yeah, he's been, because I'm looking now at Lonnie Johnson in Houston, Tennessee, Saints.
There's always something missing with those guys. When you look at a second round pick, when they bust, a lot of times it's injury, Juju Brents. Sometimes it's work ethic. I don't know.
About Jordan that. Phillips, part one.
You said it, I didn't. sometimes it's not you when your opportunity is presented to you, you didn't seize on it. And with Lonnie Johnson, he got opportunities to start in Houston. Then he got injured. And then that Pettis kid, Petrie. Saw him in camp.
Yep.
When he was a young player, and you invested in that. You and that second round pick, you put it over there on the shelf somewhere. You don't care what happened to it. And we've had those here in Miami. I can't think about who they are, but we've had them, like the Patrick Turners of the. He was a third round pick, but you know the guys who. It's like and this is the real truth. This is the real truth. Some guys are just dummies. And
or some guys have a sense of entitlement as well.
Talk about trying to be diplomatic.
No.
When you're good at it.
I remember talking y'all shared this story before.
Dumb as hell.
I remember talking to some receivers on the team because Clyde Gates was a man crush player for me.
Mm-hmm.
Guy runs a 4.3, tons of speed. His rookie season, I'd ask the veteran players there, no secret, Brian Hartline and Brandon Marshall, who I had, you know, relationships with, and both of them be like, it ain't gonna work. No. And you know why they said, up there. And you got that's the one thing, you got to be smart to play in this league. You have to be smart.
You don't think sometimes it's coaching too, though? That can be really holding a guy back.
No, if coaching coaching can hold a stupid guy back.
I'm just saying in general, it could hold a player back. Like you look at guys like Sam Darnold. I know it's a different position, but you get with the right quarterback coach and your whole career turns around.
No. Sam Darnold was rushed into, he was microwaved, tasted bad, then got to, I believe it was the 49ers in Minnesota, same offense, got slow cooked a little bit better. He put, like, yeah, put back in the oven, somebody seasoned him up a little bit. And then he was ready to be eaten at that time in Minnesota when he got the opportunity. That's
making
not
me hungry now. Holy moly.
Yeah, that's not the same thing as, oh, it's just bad coaching. Like Sam, hell, when Tua Tagovailoa have a Sam Darnold season, I don't want to hear nothing. Y'all saw that pass last week. Y'all saw it. Y'all
give me a break.
How many here,
we didn't. We didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Looks like money to me.
Every off season, I tweeted that out. You know how much hate I got for tweeting that out?
Yeah, man.
Some Twitter, whatever, said that Dolphin fans are punching the air seeing that, and I'm like, no, we've seen that before.
We've seen it. We know. The game.
Polymarket. Call
at me in November and December.
Perfectly placed deep ball by Tua has got to have the Dolphin fans punching the air. And I put Sylvester Stallone going, nah, I'm good. Because we've seen it before. We've seen him make those throws.
No, here's the funny part. They just haven't seen any Tua. This is all new to them.
Even the bullets are flying.
They're like, damn, he's a good quarterback. Look at that pass.
They are stoned.
After 2023, it just
Man, Tua's about to earn himself another 5-year contract.
Listen. I didn't share that video because I have no proof other than the 500 fans that were there at an OTA practice. And I'm like, our fans at an OTA practice. You didn't see the fans in the sit down?
Yes.
And I'm like, OTA practice. But, you know, hey, do you Falcon fans? But that's the only, because they didn't show the quarterback that threw it.
Somebody said it was Tua.
Yeah. I know they said it was Tua. But I'm going to be honest with you. And y'all know how I feel about Tua. I was like, damn, that arm looked live. That arm looked impressive. I was like, damn.
Well, they got put back on. They got put back on after a shot last year.
No, they didn't always. But you know what? Here's what's funny. Let's say Tua goes out. He has a good season. He has a 2023.
He's going to have a good season.
And, of course, don't beat any good teams. But he sell them. And you know,
he's not
there in week 16 and 17, and they go to the playoffs, lose first round. What does Atlanta do? Because he's on a 1-year deal right
over
now.
There. No, Chris Greer's in Detroit. Never mind.
They're gonna Daniel Jones him. Listen.
That was a 4-year 160, Daniel Jones, 2 years.
I'm gonna say this is gonna hurt your feelings, TD. But I wish Malik Willis practiced like Tua.
I want to see it on the field.
I wish Tua played in games like Malik Willis.
Okay. That's all I care about. Like with Matt Moore, you know, he didn't practice well, but when he got on that field,
you're right.
That's what I care about.
Just right. Because he's a gamer. Game. Matt Moore was a gamer.
Finlinium?
I was at the park with my daughter.
What is this about? Where's this?
It's a joke.
He's talking about
her name. So he's like, he was at the park with Mila and he couldn't remember her name. So he was like, Pupar, what's her name? Oh my God. I'll have to explain it to you after the show. It's the really.
RJ, but remember 8 months. He said, Omar, say Savainaya, like Hawaii.
Savainaya. I say Savainaya, right? Why y'all gotta be calling me out? I don't say Greg Dulcich.
Well, there you go. No. Yes.
No, that ain't it. That ain't it. No,
yeah, that was don't it. Mess with him. No, don't do that. I worked hard on that.
Phil Jones said we got saltwater taffy at safety. He went swimming at the beach. Taff, get it? I like taff. I don't think Trader or Gordon.
Until you realize he's about this big.
I think he'll bulk up. He'll go to the gym.
They don't have a
fight. Finn also said, I think Trader or Gordon may take the biggest step. My next camp battle video is coming out Wednesday, and I'm talking running backs and
camp battle.
Yeah, I do camp battle videos because what else am I going to talk about in the off season?
Yeah, when I wanted to do a camp battle show, y'all turn your nose up at it.
We could do it.
Look at that.
You make it I wanted to do a camp battle show in February.
It was April, okay?
Glenn with the 20, he said, Omar, I have a question for you. You told everyone that journalists need to not put false narratives out there about contracts. Question is, why is it okay for you to put narratives out there about Chris Bell not playing this year?
It's one, he's probably going to begin camp on the PUP. He's not running he's working on the side. When he starts running, I can sort of project when he's going to start playing. If he ain't running, he ain't playing. He's gonna be November-ish. He's gonna be Bradley Chubb situation where they test him out and see whether or not he could play or not. And last I checked, you tell me the wide receiver I think Tyree came back after 9 months or something like that. Who came back 9 months, wide receiver.
From what? From a torn ACL?
Torn ACL, yeah. You know what? Adrian Peterson, I might be thinking about.
Mm. There's a difference between narratives and opinions.
Yeah,
that's just Omar's opinion that he thinks, you know.
I've been here a long time. When they're not running, they're not close. Like, that's very simple math. When he's running, when Chris Bell put out a video of him running and cutting, yeah, then y'all could believe he's going to play this season.
The big dragon with the tenor said, you were right, Poop. Hurricanes are Stanley Cup champions. Yep. If you didn't see on Friday, Allen said that this weekend. Bussy was incredible, much deserved MVP for Stahl. Here's hoping the Finns lift the Lombardi soon. Finns up. Go ahead, TD. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you're right. It was Adrian Peterson, a record 7 months, but there were some wide receivers who did it in 9 months.
Who?
Stephon Diggs, Cooper Kupp, Keenan Allen.
Cooper Kupp. Keenan Allen, okay.
Jordy Nelson and Chris Godwin.
And I'll give you another one who came back in the same season from a torn ACL. pardon me. Back in the day, that was Rod Woodson.
Real quick, though, shout out to my brother.
That's not a wide receiver.
No, nope.
My brother-in-law found this, and he gave it to me. This is a knee. So I can show you where the ACL is. It's right here. See that little tendon right there?
Right there?
That's the ACL.
Okay. Mm.
So that's why, like, a lot of times when some guys can come back quicker, because if you look back here, you have the PCL is right here.
Okay.
The ACL. The lateral. So you have the LCL and I think the MCL.
Okay.
And then you have the anterior and posterior.
I forget. That's
why ACL anterior is the front, posterior is your butt.
Mine is the, I think it's LCL. I had an LCL repair. Still horrible. Still horrible. Still,
medical lesson here.
I was a biology major and I took two semesters of anatomy and physiology. I had to dissect a cat. And then point out the different muscles and the bones and everything. Yeah. So I know a good amount about it. And plus my mother's a nurse, my wife's a nurse. And anyway, it's not about me. Garf Gump with the $2 donation said, howdy from Scotland. Finn's up, everybody. What's up, Garf Gump? How you doing, hey, bud? Javier with the tenor says, if Malik Willis has a good to very good season, not excellent, are you still drafting a quarterback in the first round next year? By the way, Doug, move to Miami. So we can have a Dolphin Collective at Tootsie's.
He could just come for training camp, but I know this is not.
Not this year, next year.
Yeah,
next
man.
Year so if Malik has a good season, good to very good season, are we drafting a quarterback? I think if Malik has a good to very good season, I don't think we'll be in the range, really, to draft a quarterback.
You'll always be in the range, and you don't need a top pick to draft a good quarterback. You just need good evaluators.
I think they're talking about first round, though.
Who Who cares? Draft a quarterback. Just draft
one. In the first round?
Draft one and develop one. No, you don't have to draft one in the first round. No. You get you. Nothing's going to stop you, but I'm not a big believer that all these quarterbacks that are one. I'm not even a Dante Moore fan. I don't like that kid. The kid for Oklahoma, I like him. Can he stay healthy? You know, these quarterbacks, it's that the kid at Duke. I mean, I'm sorry, the kid at Miami's, a lot of people project he's going to be the top guy, not Archie Manning, but we'll see. We'll see. The whole season's got to be played out. Same thing. Mendoza. I told you my list of top of 20 quarterbacks right here from that were last year's going to be amazing quarterbacks. Archie Manning, Lenora Sellers. Sellers is another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Nesmeyer, Nico Imaliba, Carson Beck, Drew Aller, Cade Klubnik.
Klubnik.
Jackson Arnold, John Mater.
You're going to read every single name in the book there, Omar?
But I'm just saying, my point is, Taylen Green. My point is, all these guys were supposed to be early draft picks, and they all sucked. And the guy who didn't even make the list in Mendoza was the first overall pick. Same thing.
A philosophical point, though. And my answer, which should be the correct answer, is it's going to depend on whether the Dolphins feel confident after 2026. We have our guy. We have our friend. Don't shake your head.
No.
Don't shake your head.
Confident. Your bets. Hedge your bets.
If Malik Willis plays really good, whether we like it or not, the Miami Dolphins are not going to draft the quarterback in the first five rounds. They're not. No, you know why? Because there's one main reason why, and his name is Quinn Ewers. You still got him under contract for 2 years, and he's still growing as a player. It's not a priority. It's Quinn Ewers, as everybody is pumping him up right now. If he continues to just have everybody feeling like he should be competing for a starting job, then we are okay at the quarterback position.
So
by your logic, then the Bills should draft a quarterback in the first or second round, and they messed up because they haven't done it because they have to hedge their bets. Really? Seriously?
I will say this.
Y'all, are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Okay. Who else would I be rolling my eyes at?
One.
I need three of us.
One, Josh Allen is a generational player. There's a difference between
Bengals, Chiefs, Ravens. Why haven't they drafted the first Bengals, or second quarterback?
Ravens.
You're
talking about Houston. All, except for the Bengals, all generational players.
Houston,
Green Bay. Okay.
Houston probably need to draft one because now they're going to get shaken down for $300 million.
Dallas, thank you.
There's a lot. Malik Willis is that guy. Okay, don't draft the quarterback. But the problem with this franchise for 20 years is that they're terrified to death of quarterbacks competing. Earn the damn job. If Malik Willis turns out to be a stud for the next 2 years, you're going to have to pay him $300 million. And if you don't want to pay $300 million, then how about you draft and develop a quarterback?
But how is it the Dolphins won two Super Bowls way back when? They were afraid of quarterback competition because they didn't draft anybody to compete with Bob Greasy. They totally messed up and they got
nothing. Hall of Fame player? Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's when I have a Hall of Fame player, then don't draft a quarterback.
Moving on.
But, Bob Greasy, you're like bringing up a Hall of Fame player.
So much time, Doug. I apologize.
I'm just going to get a button. I'm going to start hitting. We could have a whole stream about this subject, then we will. Justice with the Fiverr said, what was the loudest you've ever heard a Dolphins home game? For me personally, it was 2008 against the Seattle Seahawks when they got the stop on fourth down. That stadium was bouncing. That's when Joey Porter threw his helmet off after we got the stop. I've never been in a stadium that was bouncing that much. So for me, it was 2008 against Seattle.
I don't hear the home crowd because I'm in a media booth. But
me, it was the very first Dolphin game I covered, and this was at a time, Omar. I don't believe you ever got that because the rules changed. We, the reporters, all the media was allowed on the field in the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, we got it.
1985, a November game against the Jets. The Dolphins came back to win 21-17 at the Orange Bowl with aluminum seats or benches where just by its nature would make the stadium shake, and it was completely nuts.
I forgot who we were playing, but I remember when Frank Gore was here, and it was a game in Hard Rock where it went into overtime. I forgot who
your opponent was. It would have been a Bears game, I
believe. Yeah, you're right. It was the Bears. Frank Gore, overtime, and I remember that was pretty loud. That was Rayman pretty crazy.
Again.
I
want to say, I always think the West Coast Dolphins West Coast games, those are probably the loudest that like I hear. I what stands out is always when they take over another stadium.
A lot of West Coast fans.
Cali games, it's Phoenix games.
You'll be surprised with the MetLife takeover. Sometimes they get
loud. But that's because the Mets have beaten down.
Glenn said the loudest Dolphin stadium ever been was versus the Bears in 1985. And I obviously haven't seen it because I wasn't born yet, but I've seen the videos where the referees had to start telling Shula, like, you got to get them to be quiet. And Shula's like, what the hell you want me to do about it?
There was another game that stands out more than this one, and you can check it out on YouTube if you want. 1981 at the Orange Bowl against the Eagles, where Ron Jaworski half the time looking at the refs like this.
Home field advantage, baby.
The ref was like, what am I going to do about it?
And then Finn with the final fiver said, 11-7-2020, Malik and Liberty popped my Huskies and your crush, Hayden Hooker. His stat scale was well to better talent.
Damn, you going to bring Hayden Hooker in this? I feel like you violated me.
But thanks, everyone, for stopping by. We have a special episode coming out Friday. This is a new series we're doing where it's pre-recorded. It's going to be me, TD, maybe Omar pops in, but we're going to start doing a series where it's pre-recorded. Maybe Alan, but it's going to be recorded late. And every week I'm going to be with one of them, maybe two of them, maybe all four of us, but nice little short pre-records kind of go over one topic and you know that's going to be going forward. And you let us know what you think. Comment below. We're going to read them. We'll respond in the comment section below. It'll be a premiere, too, so you guys will still be able to chat, but it'll be pre-recorded. So we will see you Friday in that new series. But go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Pupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TDYouTube.com/TDFinsTalk, and myself, YouTube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will see you guys Friday. Have a great rest of your week, and we are out.